your prayers this morning as I attempt to sing this song. I forgot one of the lines in the first service this morning. And it happens to the best of them, so obviously it's going to happen to me at least once. But I've had this song on the back burner for a while, and really hadn't bothered to learn it. But I wanted to sing it this morning, and it is especially dedicated to all of our Sunday school teachers, all of our youth workers, our VBS workers, our ministry leaders, and really everybody, but those in particular, because the title of it is called Faces, and it talks about being discouraged. There's a line in there, because we don't often get to see the fruits of our labor. And you understand, especially as Sunday school teachers of the younger classes, many of the children that we teach, they're not here their entire life, and we don't know whether what we have taught them in Sunday school and Vacation Bible School, what happens farther on down the road. But one day we will, and we will see those faces in heaven, and we will understand because the Lord will show us that. I especially sing it this morning, if I can get through it, for one Sunday school teacher that has been teaching youngsters since she was 19 years old. And I brag on mom all the time. I don't know what the count is, but I believe it's up around 400 that she's had through her Sunday school class.
Amen.
Imagine that. We've had hundreds come through our Vacation Bible School. We don't know when it will be or what it will be, but we will see one day. So as you hear the words, if I mess up, if I forget, whatever, just pay attention to the message. Don't worry about the singer. And I hope that it blesses your heart. Brother Terry, would you start the CD, please? I dreamed my life was done, and I stood before God's Son. It was time to see what my reward would be. With love He reviewed my life to count what was done for Christ. For that is what would matter eternally. See, I'd done my best to share, to show Jesus really cared, and He would say if they would just believe. Oh, but seldom I see one, until the Lord said, turn around and see. Then He showed me the faces of the ones who come because of me. So many help me plant the seed.
ask of young people I can talk to today? I'm glad y'all have energy. I wish I could bottle what you had, and I'd like a drink of it right now. No? But y'all are just so pretty. Look how pretty everybody is. Everybody's different. Everybody looks different. But you know, Jesus loves everybody. I just talk. Aren't y'all pretty? Let me tell y'all something. Before I give you anything, look at it for a minute. Jesus loves you. And Jesus wants the best for you. And Jesus wants you to talk to him. Y'all ever talk to Jesus? Do you pray before you go to bed? Do you talk to Jesus?
I don't pray before I go to bed.
Well, I love all your energy. Let me say a prayer for you, and I'll send you to children's church. Let me say a prayer for you. Father, I thank you for these precious children. I pray, Lord, that you touch their hearts. And that, Lord God, that you grow them to you. Bless them now, Lord, as they go to children's church. In Christ's name, I pray.
Amen.
All right, y'all. Yeah, everybody get one of those. Get you a bag. And we're going to follow Miss Maggie and Miss Beth to children's church.
All right.
That one at the children's church. They're leaving. All right.
You look like foreheads.
Good. All right. Y'all have fun. But you need to go. I'm sorry. I didn't do it. I didn't need it. It might have been Jerry. You know, Jerry, sometimes. And I'm going to tell you, you just had a birthday, didn't you?
Yeah.
Was it Friday? Had your birthday? Just had a birthday? I'm going to tell you, brother, it's just old age is all it is. I knew that Nick was supposed to read the scripture, but it went out of my mind. And then the first service, you forgot one of your stanzas there, but it's just old age. We just keep on going. And I think I'm a little older than you, aren't I?
Yeah.
Yeah, so I tell you this. Look forward to it, because you won't remember it when it happens. Amen. It's good to be in God's house. Turn to your neighbor now. If you've got a neighbor, tell them, I'm so glad to see you. Welcome to Jesus. Sometimes I can talk to the kids. Sometimes I can't. They're just like adults. Sometimes they'll pay attention. Sometimes they won't. Adults are the same way. Sometimes they'll pay attention, sometimes they won't. People come in with preconceived ideas and they think they know everything, and you can't talk to somebody that knows everything. But I know somebody who knows everything, and his name is God.
Amen.
And his word today, we're going to look in Matthew chapter 24, and we're in the prophetic section of Matthew as we study through the book of Matthew. Jesus had been asked the question. Matthew 24, we'll start at verse 35, but this, just a prelude to this, Jesus has been asked the question, what shall be the sign, or what shall the sign should we look for before you come, Jesus? I believe we're living in the latter days. I believe the world's getting worse and worse, and I believe Jesus could come back any day. I believe that Jesus, when he comes back, is going to take his church, those who love him, to heaven with him. And for 7 years, there's going to be a terrible tribulation on this earth. I believe there's going to be a horrible time of judgment as God backs away from the world and allows the sins of the world to just pile on. And at the end of those 7 years, my Jesus, I think, will return with his bride, with his church. And at that time, he'll establish his millennial kingdom. I can't hardly wait for that day. I'm looking forward to it. Jesus in Matthew 24, if you've got a little bulletin, it's an insert in it. We'll do responsive reading. Matthew 24, verses 35 through 39. Responsive reading, I ask you to read the bold-faced text. Jesus says, heaven and earth shall pass away, but my words shall not pass away. But of that day and hour knoweth no man. No, not the angels of heaven, but my Father only.
But as the days of Noah were, so shall also the coming
shall enter into the ark, and knew not until the flood came, and took them all away. So shall also the coming of the Son of Man be.
Father, let your Holy Spirit lift our hearts up as we turn to this word. We have no ability to process it unless you process it for us. Lord, be our mind, be our heart, be our soul, Lord. Take hold of us now and help us to understand this word as we come to it. Set a fire in our heart, Lord, and help us to realize we don't know when you're coming, but you are coming. And we don't know when judgment will come, but Lord, you've told us in your word that, Lord God, there's the appointed unto man wants to die, and then after this, the judgment. Lord God, I pray, as we turn to this word today, that every person would make their heart right before you, and that every person would get on the ark that is you, that they would believe on you, dear Jesus, and be saved. We love you. We adore you. We thank you for all that you do. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You know, I don't know what's going to happen tomorrow. Sometimes I don't even know what's going to happen today. Sometimes I forget things. My mind is not that sharp anymore. I'm getting older. But I do know this, that if you're in the hands of Jesus, you're in the best place you could possibly be. Somebody asked Jesus a question. They said, how are we going to know when you're going to come back, Jesus? And Jesus said, it's going to be like the days of Noah. Now, I'm sure y'all have all seen little pictures in nurseries of Noah and his ark. I tried to put a little picture on your bulletin insert today. Noah and his ark is always in the nursery. It always looks so cute. Everybody is on the ark. The animals are smiling. The giraffes have their heads hanging out the windows. I think on the little cartoon I gave you, the elephant's got his nose stuck out and he's trumpeting. And everybody's just having a really good time. But beloved, that's not exactly true to what the Bible says.
Right.
You see, the Bible tells us that God made us to walk with him. He made you to walk with him. He made you to walk with him. He made all of us to walk with him. And he made us to have a relationship with him. God took man and put him in a perfect garden. He gave him everything he needed. Man could walk around all the time just like y'all do at home with no clothes on. And if nobody was ashamed of anything, oh, y'all looking like you don't do that. I know you do it. Amen. I know you do it. You walk around at home with your underwear on. Well, they've done that everywhere. They didn't worry about it. And they had perfect food to eat. They had great stuff to have. God gave them everything. The weather was perfect. It was never hot. I want y'all to know something. It's been W-H-O-T hot lately. Amen. But it was beautiful in the Garden of Eden. God gave man everything. And man took the one thing God told him not to take. He took of the forbidden tree. And that's how sin came into the world. And God kept telling man, you need to come to me if you want to be happy. God still tells people, you need to come to me if you want to be happy. But time passed and man got farther and farther and farther from God. Have y'all ever noticed the farther people get from God, the uglier people get? They really do. People are ugly nowadays. They do mean things. I held a door open for a lady the other day, and she looked at me just as ugly as I'd ever seen. I thought I had something on me. I didn't know why she was mad. I walk around the store, and I see people, and their faces look horrible. Some of y'all look that way today, amen? But they're just looking mean. They're mean. Everybody's mad. Everybody's upset. You know why? Because people got away from God. Jesus said, in the days of Noah, he said, the coming of the Son of Man be is going to be just like the days of Noah. I want y'all to know, Noah was a historical person. Noah was a man who loved the Lord. And Noah was a man that God came to, and God told him 120 years before he did it. He said, Noah, I want you to build me an ark. Noah talked to God. Now I want you to know something about Noah. Noah was not a perfect person. He was absolutely not a perfect person. The Bible says that Noah built that ark and got on that ark because he found grace in the eyes of God. And God loves everybody. God offers grace to everybody. God wants to save everybody. He told Noah, he said, I want you to build me an ark. And the Bible says that God looked at mankind and he said, the end of all mankind has come before me. He said, God said, I looked out there and I'm not seeing anybody following me. There's nobody listening to me. Nobody wants to hear what I have to say. Nobody wants to hear about my love. Everybody is wicked and they're getting worse and worse and worse. And God said, I'm going to destroy it all. But then he told Noah, he said, Noah, build me an ark. He said, Noah, I want you to build it this wide and this long. And I'm not going to go into all the details, but God gave him the specifics of the ark. He said, I want it built just this way. And as Noah started building that ark, the Bible tells us he built it for 120 years. Man, that's a long time to build something, isn't it? But God wanted to build an ark to where anybody could get on that ark. Anybody could. And God tarried. God tarried in judgment. Now I want to say this very plain. God judges sin. God always judges sin. The reason God judges sin is because God loves you. When I was a little boy, my mama would tell me, she'd say, David, don't touch the stove, it's hot. I'd sit there and I'd think about it for a while and I'd go, my mama must not love me. I'm going to go touch the stove. Anybody else like that? And I had to go touch the stove and it burned me. And then I went, ouch. And then I turned and looked at mama. You know what mama told me? She said, I told you so. Mama said, do this and do that and don't do this and do this thing and don't do that thing. You know why mama told me that? Because mama loved me. And the reason God tells us what is sin and what is not sin, the reason he tells us to do certain things and not do certain things, is because it will hurt us. And God knows the farther you get away from him, the worse off you will be. God waited for 120 years. Noah, every day as he's building that ark, people are coming by to see Noah. Noah, I can't hardly believe you're building an ark out here. You know, this thing's too far away. We can't draw it near the river where you've got it at, where you've got this thing planted at. We can't get down there. Why did you build it right here? Why didn't you build it on the edge of the river? Why didn't you build it near a lake? Why didn't you build it? They walk around in the ark and they look around and they go, you know, Noah, this is a nice ark, but there's only one door in it and there's only one window in it. Why did you build it that way? You know, if I was building the ark, Noah, I would put more windows in it. I'd put more doors in it. I'd make it different. Noah said, no, God told me to build it this way. It's not supposed to be built any other way, but this way. You know, people do that with God nowadays. You know that? We do that with God all the time. We'll go to God. We'll say, God, that thing where Jesus said, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by me. Can't we take that out of our Bible? Because that's not very popular. You know, we want to think that a good Hindu is going to go to heaven, a good Buddhist is going to go to heaven. In fact, we like to think everybody's going to go to heaven but somebody that I hate. Now, if it's somebody I hate, they can go to hell. Amen? But if it's everybody else, we don't want them in heaven. But now, if it's everybody else, we want them in heaven. You know what God said? God said there's one door and there's one window. You know what God said? God said in Jesus, in John chapter 10, he said, Jesus said, I am the door. By me, you enter into the pasture, you enter out of the pasture. By me, you come into heaven, and by me, you go out of heaven. There's but one door in the ark, and that door is Jesus Christ. If you want to be blessed of God, you've got to get on the ark. Jesus said, as in the days of Noah, so shall the coming of the Son of Man be. Jesus said, there's going to come a judgment day, and you don't know when that judgment's going to be. He said, you don't have a clue. Jesus said, heaven and earth is going to pass away, but my words shall not pass away. I am the way, the truth, and the life.
Amen.
That's what Jesus said. Noah, for 120 years, built an ark. And God tarried 2,000 years ago. Jesus died between two thieves. He was hung on the cross of Calvary, nailed there, beaten and bruised, bleeding, naked, stripped naked, humiliated for you and for me. And as he hung on that cross, God poured out every sin that you would do and every sin that I would do. It was poured out on Jesus Christ. And your sins were covered by his blood. Jesus rose from that grave and he sent his disciples out. And his disciples went out and began to preach that there is only one way into God, and that way is through Jesus. That Jesus Christ came for sinners, and that everybody is a sinner. Did y'all know that?
Amen.
Everywhere I look, I see sinners.
Amen.
Even when I look in the mirror, I see a sinner.
Amen.
Y'all are looking at a sinner right now. I'm looking at sinners right now. The Bible says we have all fallen short of the glory of God. There is no one righteous without Jesus. But God paid it all in Christ. Our sins were poured out on him and judged. People say, today they say, why is it that God hasn't come back again? Why hasn't Jesus come back again? Because God tarries. And I thank God that God tarries.
Amen.
He's been tarrying for 2,000 years now. He's been waiting for people to receive Him. He's been waiting for His gospel to be preached. He wants everyone who will. You know, God is not willing that anyone should perish, but He wants everyone to come to salvation, because the best place to be is to be in Jesus.
Amen.
Oh, what a joy it is to be in Jesus. To know I don't have to worry about tomorrow. To know that I'm on the ark of God. And to know that when judgment comes, He'll lift me above that judgment. Isn't that a good thing?
Amen.
To know that you're in Jesus. To know that you're in Jesus is a wonderful thing. Jesus says, He said, in the days before the flood, they were eating and drinking and giving and marrying and giving in marriage. Jesus said in verse 38, when you read that, you say, well, what's wrong with that, Jesus? They were eating and drinking. They were marrying and giving in marriage. Those are good things, aren't they? I like eating. Y'all like eating?
Amen.
Ain't but six Baptists in this room. Y'all like eating?
Amen.
I love eating. I'm thinking about eating right now. I see some of y'all are thinking about eating right now. Amen.
Amen.
There's nothing wrong with eating and drinking. There's nothing wrong with marrying and giving in marriage. That's good things. I got a wife I've been married to for 390 years. I love her. Amen.
Amen.
We've been together forever. And we're going to be together forever. It's a wonderful thing. Those are great things. But what is Jesus talking about? He said they were eating and drinking and marriage and giving in marriage, but God was not in the middle of it. And that's what's wrong in America today.
Amen.
People are doing stuff, but God's not in the middle of it.
Amen.
I have people all the time come to me and say, preacher, my marriage is falling apart. I don't know what's wrong with it. I say, well, is God in the middle of it? If God's not in the middle of it, the marriage won't last. People say, my son, my daughter, I raised them up to be good, but they're not good. They're doing all this terrible stuff. What's wrong with it? I said, well, is God in the middle of it? Did you teach them to love Jesus when they were unteachable? Did you kneel them at the foot of the bed like my grandma did with me and teach me to say, now I lay me down to sleep? I pray the Lord my soul to keep. If I should die before I wake, I pray the Lord my soul to take. God bless the Easter Bunny. Amen.
Amen.
Are you teaching your children and your grandchildren? Is God in the middle of it? You say, well, preacher, I'm looking at my life. My business is falling apart. Well, is God in the middle of it? Noah found grace in the eyes of God. If God's not in the middle of it, you're not going to be blessed. Amen.
Amen.
Oh, praise God. But if God's in the middle of it, it can't fail. I can imagine whenever Noah started building that thing, he thought, man, this is too big for me to build. But when Noah was done building it, he built it exactly the way that God said, and it was exactly what God wanted, and it floated when it was time to float. If God's in the middle of it, it's going to be blessed.
Amen.
If the Lord builds the house, then it'll be blessed. But if God's not in it, it won't be blessed. Noah built the ark. And listen, one day God came to Noah, and he said, Noah said, yes, Lord. He said, get on the ark. So I'm getting ready to make it rain. And there was people that walked around and walked through the ark, and they had sightseeing tours. There was some entrepreneurs out there, I'm sure, selling tickets. Y'all want to go in and see Noah's ark? And they wandered through the ark, and they looked around at it, and some of them were critics. No, I'd put more windows in this place if I were you. It's going to stink after a while. And they all walked through the ark and they looked. And there were a few people that said, you know, Noah's probably right. Judgment's probably coming, but I'll put it off for a little while. I'm going to wait for another day. I'm still young. I'd like to sow my wild oats. And whenever I go in the ark, I mean, there's nothing to do in the ark. There's no coffee shops in the ark. There's no Walmart in the ark. There's no fun stuff in the ark. I'm not going to go in the ark. So they back away from it and they say, well, I'll do it another day. But then Noah, God said, get in the ark, you and your family. And they got in the ark, and the Bible says that God shut the door and sealed it. And then the first raindrop fell. And everybody stood around, and as it started raining, they looked. And some of them said, you know, Noah said we could get on the ark. They said it'd be perfectly fine to get on the ark. And they ran to the ark, and the door was shut. There are so many people that are going to die and wake up in hell because they waited too long.
Amen.
The Bible says today is the day of salvation. Not tomorrow, not the next day. I don't have tomorrow promised to me. I love this church. I love y'all. This is my I love y'all face. You see this? I love you guys. I hope to pastor this church till the day I die. But the day I die might be tomorrow. I don't know when my day is going to end. Jerry had another birthday. You're catching me, brother.
Not that fast.
He still looks good, though, don't he?
Amen.
He does look good. But I don't know. You don't know. But there's one thing you can know. You can know whether you're on the ark or not.
Amen.
You say, well, Brother David, how do I get on the ark? Jesus said, just like the days of Noah. How do I get on the ark? The Bible says that you come to Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. When you come to Jesus as your Lord and Savior, you say, Jesus, I receive you as my Lord and Savior. You're walking through that one door into the ark. You're coming to Him who can give you pasture in your life. You're laying your life down to Him. And you're saying, Jesus, I trust you with my life. When you give your life to Jesus, Jesus promised. He said, whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. Now that's a good guarantee, isn't it?
Amen.
He said, if you come to me, I will bless you. Jesus is the ark that we have to get on. And God tarries day after day. But I don't know the day of my death. And I don't know when God's judgment's going to fall on this nation. But I know for a fact that I will die. And I know for a fact that God will judge this nation. But also know this. If you're on the ark, everything will be okay.
Amen.
Jesus says, and this is Jesus' word. He says in Matthew, verse 38, Matthew 24:38. He said they were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage until the day that Noah entered into the ark. What happened that day? That day, it says, Jesus said in verse 39, they knew not until the flood came and took them all away. There is going to be a day of judgment. God will judge. He's going to judge. The Bible says it's appointed unto man once to die, then after that, the judgment. The judgment is coming. And whenever the flood came and the judgment of God came, it says it took them all away. Those that were not on the ark tried to get on the ark too late. But they can't get on. The door is sealed. But those who were on the ark, they were taken away above the judgment. If you've trusted your life with Jesus Christ, if you've received Him as Lord and Savior, then God promises that you'll not be judged. Why? Because Jesus was judged in your place. It was His blood that made payment for your sins. And even though you fall short of the glory of God, and even though like Noah, you make mistakes, you know what the first thing Noah did was when he got off the ark? Anybody remember that? He got drunk. It's in the Bible. Read your Bible. Amen. First thing he did was he got drunk. And drunkenness is a sin. Noah is a sinner. I'm a sinner. You're a sinner.
Amen.
But Jesus is a Savior.
Amen.
And Jesus loves you. This I know. For the Bible tells me so. I wish I could sing like my song leader sings. Or like his daddy. I thought I'd get some comments on that. But Jesus loves you. And He wants you to get on the ark. He wants you to receive him as you are and trust him as you are. When you get on the ark, what's different? You're not in the world anymore. You see, the world is outside the ark. But in the ark is where Jesus is. You're not part of the mess of sin in the world. The world says, the more I sin, the happier I'll be. Those who are on the ark say, the closer to God I get, the happier I'll be.
Amen.
And I want y'all to know something. I have a lot of fun being saved. Do y'all?
Amen.
If you're not, you're not doing it right. Amen?
Amen.
I have a lot of fun being in Jesus. But the best place to be is to be in Jesus. I want to end with just this text. I want you to listen to this text. Romans 3, verses 21 through 25. Write this down if you want to. Read it when you get home. Romans 3, verses 21 through 25. But now the righteousness of God without the law is manifested, being witnessed by the law and the prophets, even the righteousness of God, which is by faith of Jesus Christ, upon all and to all that believe. For there is no difference. For all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. But we are justified, that's made right with God, freely by His grace through the redemption in Christ Jesus. Because Jesus shed His blood for you, if you've received Him as Lord and Savior, then that covers your sin. That is the ark of God. Father, we love you so very much. We pray, Lord Jesus, that you would focus us upon your word. That, Lord Jesus, that no one would leave this place without receiving you as Lord and Savior. Lord, I thank you that those that were on the ark were saved. What a wonderful example of salvation by grace that is. Lord God, because of you, we have salvation. Because you sent your dear Son to die on that cross of Calvary for us, we have salvation. And Jesus, because you rose again from that grave, we have salvation. We do not have a high priest, Lord, who is gone, but a high priest that's ever present. We thank you, dear Jesus, for loving us, for giving yourself for us. And Lord, I pray, if there's anyone here that doesn't know you as Lord and Savior, today would be the day they would say, Jesus, I want that salvation in you. I want to receive you, and Jesus, I want to be on that ark. We love you. We praise you. In Jesus' name we pray. All God's people said,
Amen. Turn with me to number 447. 447.